about. It's our weekly catch-up with the National Party's Denise Lee.
Hello, Denise. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can. Kia ora too. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad. It's a good Friday and really nice to talk to you for the first time. My first time to talk to you on the show, so great job.
Yes. I'm looking forward to our chat and we've got a lot to go over. It's been a busy week for National, hasn't it?
Yeah, no, it has. So we released a real chunky discussion document.
Yes.
In fact, we're going so far as to say that it's one of the most substantial documents released by an opposition in a very, very long time, if not ever. We just want to show New Zealanders that we're thinking through the big stuff and that we want to tackle some of the hard stuff. And I know that we're not government and I know that we can't make it so, but if New Zealanders trust us and give us a go again next year, then maybe we can start to address some of the stuff.
Could you go into detail around some of the new welfare policies that you put forward?
Yeah, so it's the social services document that we released this week. Just FYI too, you know, we've also previously released stuff on the economy, on family. We're going to be doing transport and infrastructure and housing soon. So this bit this week is the social services. So it covers policies and ideas and propositions. Not all of them will be able to implement, but it's had the right effect. It's generated a bunch of discussion already, and the topics cover stuff for children, you know, like 3-day stays for mums who give birth, making sure that, you know, you can actually stay for 3 days in hospital and not get kicked out before that. For seniors, making sure that seniors' day programs for really lonely seniors, some of that funding's been cut by the government and we want to reinstate that. Social housing, we want to make sure that we have that social housing program keep going. Family violence, welfare, employment, disabilities, we've got a whole chunk in that document.
Some of the rhetoric that I've seen just around discussion around the new policies that you're proposing, just some of the rhetoric that National seems to be using, it makes it almost seem like a bit of a crackdown, right? But I'm curious, is there any sort of room for increasing support for Kiwis on welfare support at all?
Well, of course there can be, and guess what? We increased main benefits, for the first time, I think it was in like 20 years. That's what we did in government. So not even this government's done that. So we have a track record of giving support where it's the right support. But what we're doing in this one is definitely not a crackdown. We're simply wanting to have the real big, hard discussion about how to encourage Kiwis to succeed on their own merit, to reduce welfare dependency. And we want to do that because we really genuinely do think that reducing poverty and reducing that dependency on a welfare check week by week is the right thing for Kiwis.
That's all well and good. And I think ultimately, for me personally, I think people are better off not being sort of dependent on welfare as well. And they're far more successful if they're in an autonomous sort of position. And I think that's fantastic. But I would like to know, what does that look like? Does that mean that people are getting into more jobs, but are they sort of minimum wage or is it long-term work? And if it does mean sort of more low-paying jobs, does that mean that you'll be sticking to sort of Labour's plan to increase minimum wage? I just want to see what that kind of roadmap is.
Yeah, no, it certainly doesn't mean, kind of going from a tough scenario to an even tougher scenario where people can't see progression or a way ahead. Absolutely not. Hey, just quickly before I get onto that, though, for me, this is a personal comment here. For me, I'm very big on mental health and well-being and people's progression in that space, and I think that welfare dependency has terrible outcomes in those regards. So I just wanted to say that too. It depends on, I guess, where in terms of pathway progression, it depends on where people are starting from, right? So we've been really big in our previous life as a government, and we want to get back there again next year, on release to work programs for people out of corrections, and there's another service called Out of Gate Service, another one called Creating Positive Pathways. These are all initiatives between corrections and housing and urban development and MSD. So we're very particular in the discussion document about support for those programs, making sure that we've got post-prison rehab, all that stuff. And then if you're not in the corrections frame and you're on a sort of a welfare-dependent cycle, that you're looking for a job, then we're proposing local jobs and skills hubs. Now, I'm super keen about this because I've got one operating in my own area, in the Tamaki area, and it's sort of a pilot, but it's not, but it is. And we've gone and really studied this, and I know the team there. What they're doing is essentially living out our social investment model.
Fantastic.
And you let me know whether we've got time to go a little bit later into that right now too. I don't know whether you do.
What I'd like to touch on next is at least a big part of the sort of media coverage of the policies has been around gangs. And particularly, the media coverage has been sort of saying that it's led to gang members being made to prove that they're not receiving income from illegal sources, right? Otherwise, their benefit would be cut. Does this not go against the presumption of innocence?
No, look, in principle, no, we don't. Now, the details about how we find out, where assets are registered and so on, of course, we've got to get down to the nitty-gritty details. But there's just one big, massive principle at play here, and that is if you're collecting a benefit payment and you've got illegal sources of income, and quite frankly, money that could be spent on where some serious need is required, then it's just wrong. So it's also about, I'm going to be bold and just tell you, taxpayers deserve to know where their money is being spent in welfare. Mm. And if you're making illegal, if you've got a legal source of income, then it's actually not right.
Denise, is there any...
We believe a lot of Kiwis would agree with that.
Denise, do you think there is any danger that they'll increase their criminal activities in order to make up for the lost income?
No. No more than what's already going on. Look, we've already got an issue with gangs peddling a whole bunch of misery in our communities, and we don't see that there'll be massive unintended consequences around that. I mean, quite frankly, what we need to do is make sure that the wraparound support is there for any resultant effect, but we don't see at all that there'll be a likely increase. It'll just mean that the support's going where the support needs to go to.
I'd like to, the next topic I'd like to touch on is the armed police patrols, and I'd like to know what you think about them.
Well, it's the police commissioner's decision to do this, right? Mm. So it's not actually something that the government does per se. So the police commissioners decide to do it. We support the commissioner and his ability to make this call. The police do have, and I suppose a lot of people do know this, they already have access to firearms and lockboxes, right, in their cars right now. And we definitely think that's appropriate. And, if this increases public safety and it's the commissioner's call, then we back the commissioner.
I'd like to know, the party may not have a position, but I would like to know your own opinion on something. Particularly, what do you think about local communities' sort of opposition to the armed police patrols, particularly in counties Monaco, Waikato and Canterbury? Because I read somewhere this morning that there's been a petition launched as well. So what is your thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, I'd back the police too. At the end of the day, they live, eat, breathe daily, minute by minute, the issues on the ground. I've been out on patrol several times with police, and I talk regularly to constables and sergeants, and even the area commander in my area, and I know that there are hot spots of activity, and we need to ensure public safety. And I really genuinely feel the commissioner would not make this call, and it's his call, but he wouldn't make it if he didn't think it was needed.
Now, it's interesting that you say hotspots, because I was wondering, do you think it would be more important that we have sort of community-based policing rather than this almost militarised police presence within those hotspots, do you think?
Oh, absolutely both. Like, you want to hear something ironic? I've literally just come in my office door from doing a community patrol. So of course the response needs to be two-pronged. The community absolutely needs to take charge of their own safety and their own empowerment. I launched Mount Wellington Community Patrols. I'm a member of Onehunga. I'm out there all the time. Because the police can't do it all. They can't do it all. And you know, the armed response unit might seem extreme, but I think in some cases it's going to be warranted. But for the rest of the time, we are masters of our own destiny. We can keep our own communities safe and have police for when we need it.
Denise, do you not think that one would sort of cancel out the other in terms of armed police force and then a community policing force as well? Would they not cancel each other out? No,
I don't think so, because, I mean, sounds a bit philosophical, I know too, but human nature, right? There are always going to be some people who, no matter what, will just disregard the law and disregard it in a very serious way. And we need police for those instances. For everything else, let's go for it with neighbourhood support groups, with knowing our neighbours, with connections, with community groups, community patrols. If anyone listening wants to know how to join up a community patrol, call me 0800 Denise MP and I'll hook you up with community patrol.
Because we're running out of time here, Denise, I was wondering just if we could touch on my last topic, which is the military presence in the Pacific. Do you think it would be... I think that would be good. So there's been a new sort of assessment released by the government this week, and it's called the Advancing Pacific Partnerships 2019 Assessment, which outlines safeguarding New Zealand and Pacific security interests to be a source of stability and a reliable, valued partner. And it speaks on the urgency...
A tongue twister.
Yes,
all that.
I know. I'm very well practiced, I promise. And it speaks on the urgency of how climate change, transnational crime and geopolitical competition means New Zealand has to act in new ways and at new levels. Just briefly, what do you think about that?
Well, look, we agree that it's better to be proactive rather than reactive, right? So we're partners in the region with Pacific neighbours, and there'll be times when they need us, there'll be times when we're just good friends off to the side. So we're supportive of an engaged New Zealand with the region, and if this increased presence means that we're being proactive, then why not?
Do you obviously within this assessment, this also includes Fiji, which remains a military dictatorship and has been accused by the UN of violating various human rights violations. If we were to go ahead with this, what sort of changes would you like the government to make there?
Oh, look, I'll be honest with you too. I don't know my Fiji politics that well to make a comment on that. I would just in general say that, you know, we are the largest state in the Pacific region. We've got a responsibility to our neighbours, and any issues that are island by island, we'd just use our fantastic team at, Foreign Affairs, and our trade and enterprise team. The best way that we can help our Pacific neighbours is get them into better economic prosperity, and then you'll find all this other stuff has a way of working out.
Fantastic. Well, that's all the time we have today to speak, Denise, but thank you so much. It's been fun.
Yeah, you too.
Have
great
a,
job. Have a really good Friday.
Yeah, you too. Have a lovely day. Goodbye.
The National Party's Denise Lee on 95 BFM.